SBS Radio.
In this bulletin, Kaliwinko Aboriginal community on Elko Island in the Northern Territory begins a 7-day lock-in amid COVID-19 outbreak. The federal government has urged adult Australians to get a booster dose for maximum protection amid continuing high numbers of COVID. And the coalition plays down a new poll that shows their support has plummeted months out from the federal election. A 7-day lock-in has begun for residents in the remote community of Kaliwinko on Elko Island in the Northern Territory amid a spike in COVID-19 cases. The lock-in, which allows locals to move around but not leave the island, will continue until February 5 and comes after the end of a more restrictive lockdown in the area. It comes after coronavirus cases in the area grew to 319 since January 10, with 285 of those still considered active infections. Chief Minister Michael Garner says communities have been fully consulted on these measures.
Well, I don't know if we use the phrase lock-in, so they might be new to them, the phrase lock-in, but we've been talking to them about how we might be able to do different travel rules, and so this is definitely part of our conversations with them. I know the Commission mentioned earlier that the concept of security. Landcats put on board the idea of them employing some security, and the Commission said, well, if that was the case, this is how it would work. So we've been having those kinds of conversations.
And remote communities of Utopia and Ampila Twaja, 350 kilometres northeast of Alice Springs, are grappling with their COVID-19 outbreak while cut out from the rest of the world. The two communities have been without road access and a reliable landline or mobile phone service for more than a week following heavy rain. Northern Territory Health Minister Natasha Fyles said the government was using its resources to care for those who required medical attention. And as of Sunday, Ampila Raja Clinic had about 60 rapid antigen tests left, enough to test 10% of the community once. Talking to the ABC, Ampila Raja Chief Executive Rick Duak said every year the region experiences heavy flooding and isolation, and its roads and runway remain in disrepair. We're not asking for much, we're not asking for handouts, we're just asking for resources to be able to fend for ourselves, and that's all. This situation right now is the culmination of decades of neglect. It's not something that just happened yesterday or today, Mr. Luak said. 8 people have died in Victoria from coronavirus, according to today's COVID-19 figures. The state has reported 10,053 new infections, and there are 873 people hospitalized with the virus, with 102 of those in intensive care. In terms of vaccinations, 93% of Victorians aged 12 and over have received 2 doses of coronavirus vaccine, and 38% have received 3 doses. Tasmania has recorded 504 new COVID-19 cases, down from 594 yesterday. Rapid tests identified 347 of those new positive infections, and the other 157 were from PCR tests. There are 16 people hospitalized with the virus, and 1 person is in intensive care. Vaccination rates for Tasmania stand at 95.02%, double-dosed for the population aged 12 and over, and for third doses, 39.11% of adults aged 18 and over. In the meantime, New South Wales has recorded another deadly day of the COVID-19 pandemic, with 27 lives lost. There were 13,026 positive tests recorded, 5,664 of those from rapid antigen tests. New South Wales Health says 2,779 people are hospitalized from the virus, and 185 of those are in intensive care. Vaccination figures remain concerning, although 94% of the population over the age of 16 years have received 2 doses of coronavirus vaccine, only 39.4% have received the recommended 3rd dose. A lockout of unvaccinated people begins in Western Australia today. From this morning, proof of double dose vaccination will be required for hospitality venues such as restaurants, cafes, porter shops and fast food outlets for dine-in customers. It also applies to visitors to public and private hospitals and aged care facilities and indoor entertainment venues like play centers, casinos and cinemas. Premier Mark Bagoan says there are consequences for anyone who chooses not to be vaccinated.
It's a responsibility of both venues and individuals with potential fines available. If you get vaccinated, you'll be able to live a relatively normal life. You'll be able to work in a whole range of industries, just like everyone else.
And families are being urged to get their children vaccinated if they have not already done so, as millions of Australian children and teachers begin a new school year from today. Authorities are also asking anyone eligible for a booster shot to come forward for their third dose. Experts say COVID-19 infections are likely to increase again with the return to classrooms. Pediatrician Dr. Asha Bowen says vaccinations make sense for themselves and the wider community.
And I'm really, really, supportive of our kids being in school face-to-face learning whenever they possibly can be. And so I think a vaccine program adds that extra layer of protection.
Eligibility requirements have changed for booster shots today from 4 to 3 months. The federal government is stepping up its calls for Australians to get their third vaccine dose amid growing evidence that it provides better protection against COVID-19 than two doses. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says that at least 49% of Australians are now eligible and they should not delay.
We know that there are approximately 18 million doses available and we have the capacity to inoculate everybody who is eligible, and we would encourage people to come forward. The simple message is, if you haven't previously been eligible, or you are eligible and you haven't come forward for your first dose or your second dose or your booster, now's the time. Please don't wait.
The coalition has shrugged off the results of a news poll that shows support for their party has slumped even further with the federal election expected in mere months. The news poll conducted for the Australian newspaper shows the opposition is ahead 56-44 on a two-party preferred basis, the coalition's worst polling performance since September 2018, and Labor's primary vote is up 3 points to 41%. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has told the ABC it's too early to write off the government just yet.
Many political obituaries were written ahead of the 2019 election and many false prophecies were made by those in the media, dare I say it, and our political opponents, and they turned out to be wrong. So no one should get ahead of themselves.
And the federal government has announced an extra $50 million investment into koala habitat protection and recovery. The money will be allocated over the next 4 years for a national koala recovery plan promised after the 2020 bushfires where over 6,000 of the marsupials were killed. The marsupials have been decimated by bushfires, disease and vehicles, with estimates of their numbers ranging from about 330,000 to no more than 100,000 in the wild. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says it's a commitment to a symbol of Australian wildlife.
We love to throw our arms around koalas, and they love to throw their arms around us when we get to have a cuddle. And what this is about is continuing to throw our arms around our koala population and care for them in the way that I believe all Australians would want us to. And that's a window into the broader wildlife population that we need to support.
Ukraine's ambassador to Australia has responded to claims by his Russian counterpart in relation to a potential armed conflict between the two countries. The Kremlin's top diplomat in Canberra, Alexei Pavlovsky, last week claimed the buildup of 100,000 Russian troops on the Ukrainian border was a warning, not a threat to the country. Ukraine's Australian ambassador, Volodymyr Shalbrisky, has now issued a written response in which he accuses Mr. Pavlovsky of making false representations on the issue. He says Mr. Pavlovsky's comments are aligned with Russia's main strategy towards Ukraine, which is to question international support and destabilize the country. He accuses Russia of trying to blackmail the West and change Ukraine's pro-European direction. And the Taliban and its allies have reportedly killed scores of former Afghan officials, security forces members, and people who worked with the international military since the US-led withdrawal. The killings are documented in a report by the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres to the UN Security Council. His report paints a picture of revenge attacks and worsening living conditions for the country's 39 million people, despite an end of combat with the Taliban's takeover in August. The death toll from a powerful winter storm over northern Europe has grown from 4 to 6. A 9-year-old boy and a 60-year-old woman in Scotland and one person in Poland were killed by falling trees. One person died in Germany, where he was reportedly hit by an election poster that had become loose in the strong wind. Two workers in the Czech Republic were buried by a 16-foot wall that had been blown over, with one dying over his injuries at the scene. Police say a 78-year-old woman in Denmark died when she fell in the rough weather. And family members and Irish political figures have joined a ceremony to mark 50 years since the deadly Bloody Sunday shootings in Northern Ireland, when British soldiers fired on unarmed civil rights marchers. They laid wreaths at a monument dedicated to the 13 people who lost their lives in 1972, and the names of those who were killed and the 15 others who were injured were read out during the 45-minute service. Michael Daniel Higgins, President of Ireland, addressed the crowd.
As we listen to their names being recited with deep sadness today, we remember them and those tragic events not simply as history on a page, but as part of the living memory of so many of the people of this city and indeed of this island. Just as the families of those lost that day have done throughout their long years of campaigning, we remember, too, all of the families who lost loved ones to violence during the Troubles.
And now to sport. Rafael Nadal says winning his second Australian Open title means more than what it represents in terms of his player ranking. Nadal claimed a record-breaking 21st Grand Slam singles title in the early hours of this morning to finish an epic five-hour struggle against second seed Daniil Medvedev in the men's Australian Open final. The victory vaulted the Spaniard one slam clear of great rivals Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic on the all-time major titles leaderboard. But speaking at the post-match press conference, Nadal said enjoying the experience mattered so much more to him.
I don't care much. No, for me, it's about enjoying nice like today. That means everything for me, you know, and means even more to achieve the second Australian Open more than any other thing.
And now having a look at the weather this Monday afternoon, Broome, a windy and rainy afternoon at a top of 29, Perth, mostly sunny, 34, Adelaide, much the same, 35, Melbourne, humid, partly cloudy, 30, Hobart, humid, becoming sunny, 25, Albury-Wodonga, a sunny day ahead, 31, Canberra, a shower or 2, 29, Wollongong, mostly sunny, 27. Sydney, a possible shower with a top of 29. Newcastle, similar conditions, 28. Brisbane, possible shower, 32. Townsville, partly cloudy, 31. Cairns, also a shower, 32. Alice Springs, cloudy, 29. Darwin, showers and a possible storm with a top of 31. And the Torres Strait Islands, showers and a top of 29. And that is NITV Radio News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.